Good morning. Welcome to Cross Life Church. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here. As far as things that I love is concerned, I have to say that I love my wife. I love my children. I also love The Lord of the Rings, and I love sleeping. And I love none of them in exactly the same way. And I think that's the idea behind today's sermon on everyday love. There are some loves that we have that are very, very different from the love of God to us, and very, very different from our love of God as well. And there are some loves that we have that are more similar to the love of God too. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to see what God's love is like toward us. If you have any questions or want to make any comments, there is a slider. So if you go into there in your browser, you can ask questions and like other people's questions and comments. We will answer some at the end of the sermon. I'm going to lead us in prayer as we head into God's word. So please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you so loved the world, that you gave your only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Thank you that you have poured out your love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, so that we can know what Jesus has done for us and so that we can appreciate your love. Please remind us of your love. Please help us to deepen in our knowledge of your love. And please help us to love like you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a TED talk in 2012, there was a researcher named Michael Norton who shared the results of a social experiment that he conducted among college students in Canada. To some students, he gave an envelope of money. He gave them like $5 or $20, and he told them to buy something for themselves by the end of the day. To another group, randomly selected, he gave the same envelope, same money, but with instructions to buy something for someone else by the end of the day. At the end of the day, the researchers would phone call the people and ask them how happy they were. And it turned out that the people who spent money on others were more happy than the people who spent money on themselves. And these results were replicated worldwide, not just on college students, but also in corporate sales teams and also in dodgeball teams as well. I don't know why they researched dodgeball teams, but they did. And it kind of led to them summarizing their research as, if you think that money can't buy happiness, you're just not spending it right. You see, money can buy happiness, but it only buys it if you're spending it on others rather than yourself. And there's similar research that goes that people who give regularly to charity are happier than those who don't as well. None of this should surprise Christians. Contrary to popular belief, we are not as independent and unique as we think. And that's what the Bible says as well. You know, there is a need in us to love, and there's a need in us to be loved as well. The reason why that is the case is because the Bible teaches that our world has been created by a loving God. And that means that our world is going to have echoes of God's love in all of our daily experiences. And God wants us to see this. He wants us to see his handiwork. He wants us to see his love in everything that he has made. And God willing, if we do, that will lead us to help us to abound in wonder and love and praise to God. And so we're going to look a little bit into how we can do that a little bit more today. But first, we've got to understand clearly, what do we mean when we talk about God's love? I hope you saw from our intro question that, you know, we love different things in different ways. I love Jesus is hopefully different from I love my wife, which is hopefully different from I love strawberry ice cream. And so what kind of love do we mean when we talk about the love of God? You know, do we mean a kind of possessive love, or do we mean a self-sacrificial love? What kind of love is it? Well, it might help to know that there are three words in the original Greek Bible, all of which are translated as the English word love, but they all have different meanings. It's just that our English can't quite get the nuance of it. The first love, eros, is a love that desires to possess. It's a love that comes about because of something attractive in the other person or thing. So this is the love that you see in dating and romance, you know, mating rituals between animals and kind of between humans as well. This is the love that is in people's obsessions and addictions as well, you know, collectors and fans who really, really love kind of whatever it is they follow. But this is also the kind of love that fades too. Because if something has to earn your love through attractiveness, they can unearn it through unattractiveness. And this is the kind of love that dies. When people say words like, "You're not the person I married," or "I feel betrayed at what they've done to this movie franchise." You know, these are people who can't leave it alone because eros is a possessive love. The second kind of love, philia, is the love of affection based on association. This is the love of friends or family members or even being on the same sports team. It's a love that comes with relationships. The American city Philadelphia is from this word. It means love for the brother. But the word that's used in the Bible most often for God's love is not either of those two words, but the third type of love, which is agape. Agape is the opposite of eros love. Eros is love for the deserving. Agape is love for the undeserving. Eros is love that desires to possess, but agape is love that desires to give. Agape is unselfish love. It is gracious love. And in the passage that we read, 1 John chapter 4, the one that Eddie read for us, all the instances of the word love in that passage, and there are a lot of them, they're all agape love. And so that's what we mean when we talk about the love of God. When we say that God loves us, we mean that he loves us with a loyal and steadfast love. And it's a love that's never going to change or fade because it's not a love that is earned or deserved. When we say that God loves us, we mean that God wants to give good to us if only we will receive it. That's what we mean by the love of God. But the passage that we read, it actually goes a little bit further because it doesn't just say that God loves us. You know, it doesn't just say that God agapes love. It says that God is love. God is agape. And that's much deeper than saying that God loves. It's saying that love is built into God's nature. It's who he is and it cannot change. I think kind of maybe a way that I can help you to understand it a little bit is what's in my nature, right? Well, being Mike is in my nature. I am Mike, right? Whatever it is to be Mike, and it's pretty hard to define, but there is something there. Whatever it is, I am Mike. I am Mike all the time, every hour of every day. I can't not be Mike. And that's different, actually, from a lot of the other I am things that I could say about myself. So all the I am things, I'm a pastor, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a scripture teacher, I'm a classical music and coffee enjoyer. A lot of these things I could turn on and off. You know, they're not part of my nature. They're not part of my essence. They're not essential to who I am. I can ditch those things and still be Mike. But my Mike-ness is still kind of there. And so when the Bible says that God is love, it's saying that love is in God's nature. It's saying that love is who he is. Everything that God feels, everything that he does is love in some way or another. God can't be unloving. He can't turn off his love, not even to judge. And we're going to see a little bit more how that works kind of later in this talk. But, you know, the idea that people have when some people think, oh, God couldn't possibly love me. You know, it's actually the opposite that is true. God couldn't possibly not love you because it's in his nature to love. God is more than loving. He is love. And we see how far God's love for us goes in our 1 John passage when it says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." You can measure the intensity of someone's love by how much they are willing to give up for what they love. I love getting new books, but I wouldn't give up that much for new books. I think I would give up more for the country of Australia. I would give up even more for my family. It says here that God's love is most clearly seen when he sent his Son to die for our sins. He died as a propitiation. That is a sacrifice that takes away God's anger. Now, how much would you have to love someone to give up your only son for them? Now, that's the intensity of the love that God has for us. Before people accuse God of being cruel to his son or saying that God conducts cosmic child abuse on Jesus, God's son Jesus is also God, and he was of one mind with God, and he willingly went to the cross for us. Jesus has the same love for us as God does. There's a love that's kind of detailed in a hymn that is called Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. That's the title. You know, saying that God's love is a love that we can never fully understand or copy. And the best that we can do is to wonder at it and praise God for it. God's love is most fully seen in what Jesus has done for us. It is his greatest love for us. And all the little evidences of God's love, all the little echoes of God's love in the world, they can help to remind us of that love, and they can drive our thoughts to his greatest love. And so as you go out into the world, what I hope that we can do is gain the ability to see everything as an expression of the love of the God who is love. And to see it as really just one of two types of the love of God, either his gentle love or his tough love. And so first, the gentle love of God. Now, this is the kind of love that we see in passages like Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. These are Jesus' words. It's Jesus speaking. He says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Acts chapter 14, verse 17, when Paul and Barnabas are preaching to the people of Lystra, they say about God, "Yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." The Bible's saying something about the world here that we often forget. These things that we often take for granted are the weather, our crops, our food, this natural world around us. They're not just things that happen. They're not just objects that exist. They're not just there. This whole world around us is personal. All these things around us, they are gifts. And they come from the gentle love of the God who loves us. You know, how often do you look at the rain and you think to yourself, wow, God is a good God for giving us rain? You know, I don't. I'm not a person who receives gifts well in kind of a general sense. I'll say thanks if you give a gift to me, but I don't usually get thrilled or all emotional when I get gifts. Maybe the reason why that is because I tend to flag fairly clearly what I would like for a gift before Father's Day, my birthday, and Christmas. So it's never really much of a surprise. But probably also when other people buy me gifts, when I don't flag it, people see me and they know instantly what they should get for me. New clothes is what they instinctively think. And I'm a bit less appreciative of that because that's why I need them. But even I, a person who doesn't receive gifts well, can appreciate that it is so much better to get a thing from someone else rather than get it yourself. You know, if a person's gotten something for you, there's that sense that a person has remembered you. A person's thought about you. They've put the work into getting something for you. And Jesus and Paul and Barnabas, they have this view of the world around us. The sun and the rain and the grass and the trees and the food, they weren't just phenomena. They weren't just happenings or things or stuff. They were gifts. See, there's a difference between knowing that the sun exists and knowing that the sun exists for you. It might be uncomfortable to hear something like that. You know, it sounds a bit arrogant. It sounds like you're making yourself the center of the universe, but it's not that. You know, these gifts, they don't glorify you. They glorify God. And these things happen, these gifts happen, not because you're the center of the universe, but because God is the center of the universe and he is love. Might think to ourselves, though, you know, well, if a person gave me the same shirt every year, I'd kind of stop appreciating that eventually. You know, why does God give us the same sun every day, the same rain and grass? You know, can't God mix it up a bit? Wouldn't that help us to be more aware that this is God at work in his love? And to that, I'm going to give you the words of G.K. Chesterton, because I will take any chance I get to give people Chesterton. And so this is what he wrote. we might not doubt, find it a nuisance to count all the blades of grass or all the leaves of the trees. But this would not be because of our boldness or gaiety, but because of our lack of boldness and gaiety. The boar would go onward, bold and gay, and find the blades of grass as splendid as the swords of an army. The boar is stronger and more joyous than we are. He is a demigod. Nay, he is a god. For it is the gods who do not tire of the iteration of things. That just means repetition. To them, the nightfall is always new, and the last rose as red as the first. You know, maybe God wants us to see goodness and beauty in the regularness of things, the ordinariness of things. That is the love of God to us. Can you see this gentle love of God? Can you see it when you look at the world around you, in your moments of happiness during the day, in your appreciation of God's creation gifts? God has given us a wondrous world to explore and to observe. We can see it, and we can see more of it, and know that this is the gentle love of God for us. But God's gentle love is not his only love. There is a tough love of God as well, and that's what we see in verses like Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 11. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by him. Now, the people in the book of Hebrews that time, they were going through some tough experiences. They were being persecuted for being Christians. They had their property seized. They knew people who had been put in prison for their faith. They were tempted to give up on their faith in Jesus as well. It would have been easier for their lives. It'd be easy to think here for the people in the Hebrews time, has God abandoned them? Is their experience the absence of God's love? And the writer to the Hebrews shows them, no, this is not the absence of love. This is a different kind of love. This is love as discipline. Most of us have gone through some form of discipline as children. We can relate to Hebrews 12 when it says, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. It probably wasn't perfect discipline and we probably didn't respect them right at the time, but we know that loving a child is not about giving them everything that they want. Loving a child means that you do something, you intervene when they are headed down a self-destructive path. Love wants to teach them and give them good values and show them what is right. Eli Wiesel, a Holocaust survivor, he famously said, the opposite of love is not hate, it is indifference. Love doesn't do nothing. Love disciplines. And here in Hebrews 12, it's saying that we are children of God and that God disciplines his children because he loves us. There are things in life that are painful to teach us to endure. There are things in life that are slow and boring to teach us to be patient. There are things in life that are contrary to our plans to teach us to depend. There are things in life that are never enough for us to teach us to be content. And Hebrews 12 says that the fruit of all that is holiness and righteousness in our lives. These are lives that are more in sync with God because of his discipline. And so when we go through these kinds of times, when we face obstacles or opposition or failure, you know, our instinctive response might be to try and overcome them. Or we might try and forget about them. or we might try and seek justice or seek help, you know, especially if those situations are unfair. Nothing is wrong with doing any of those things. But Hebrews 12 also reminds us to not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, to not ignore the fact that this is what is going on here, not to just want to get it over with, but to learn the lesson that God is trying to teach us. Can you see the tough love of God? If you're going through a tough time right now, then maybe you can't. You know that the passage says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But maybe for past struggles in your life, can you see how you've come out stronger? Have you learnt things? Have you grown in a way that you possibly couldn't have grown if you hadn't had that struggle? Well, that is the discipline, the tough love of God that is operating on you. And both those types of love, the gentle love and the tough love, we see them working together in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in God's true and ultimate Son. It says of Jesus that he learned obedience through what he suffered, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. That was the discipline of God on his Son. But also we see God's love and goodness come out of that suffering, you know, raising his Son from the dead, triumphing over evil and sin, giving salvation to everyone who believes in Jesus in the cross. We see both God's gentle love and his tough love. And so we can see God's love in all of our everyday experiences. Some of it will be gentle love, some of it will be tough love, and from this we can remember the love of God to us in Christ. And the Bible says that our main response to recognizing the love of God is to love others. If God so loved us, 1 John 4 says, we also ought to love one another. Now, God loves the undeserving. God desires to give. If we see something good in that, we will also love the undeserving and we will also desire to give. God gives to his children what they need out of his strength. We will also give to other people what they need out of our strength. I think this is really relevant to a lot of us here at church. Is that the thing that you do when you are in a position of strength, when you are able to give, is to give more toward those who need your strength. This is kind of a bad time to use this little story because I sprained my back this week, but fairly regularly I go running in the morning when I don't have a bad back. I do this before kind of anyone else in the house wakes up. I do the same route each time. There was a time when I realized that the route that I was doing, I could do it fairly easily. You know, what's the natural thing that you do when you kind of find something easy when you're running? You find a longer route to run, don't you? It's the same when you're lifting or going up a bracket in a sport. You know, the idea is that when you can do more, you do more. It's the same with love. Now, if you're in a position now, kind of in life, where things are cruising, you know, things are pretty smooth, you've got a bit of spare time and energy on your hands, you know, maybe don't fill that up too much with stuff for yourself, you know, gaming or TV or whatever it is, you know. Maybe be looking for opportunities to love and care for others. If you look for them, they will probably come up. You will find them. You know, Jesus says, "For from everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded." God has this a kind of economy in mind where love is meant to flow from the strong to the weak. And the opposite is true as well. You know, if you sprain your back, metaphorically speaking, and it turns out that you can't do everything you used to do, what you do is you pull back. You know, you can't care for as many people. That's okay. There's no shame in it. It's just the position that God has put you in right now. You know, all of us are going to go through that at some point as we go through the ups and downs of life. There's an old hymn that goes, brother, let me be your servant. Let me be as Christ to you and pray that I might have the grace to let you be my servant too. Now, you see that two-way thing there that is meant to happen. The love of God is meant to draw us into this dynamic of giving and receiving love. That is how God works. And it's how we are meant to work as well. And so God is love. Everything that God does is love. And that means that everything that we can see in our world is love. It is either the gentle love of God or it is the tough love of God. God wants us to see this. He wants us to see that our world is more than just phenomena, more than just events and things. It is personal. It is given to us by God in his love for us. It's meant to drive us to remember his love in Jesus. And it's meant to drive us to love others in turn. Let me pray that that is what we will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you reveal the deepest aspects of your character and nature to us. Thank you that you show us the love that is at the core of your being, of your nature. Lord, we thank you that we see that love made manifest in our world through your Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us. Lord, we are grateful for the death of your Son on our behalf as that sacrifice of our sins to make us right with you when we didn't deserve it. And Lord, we know that we can never repay that love. We can never love you as much as you love us. But Lord, we pray that we may be able to appreciate that more and more. Lord, please help us to see your love in all the things that we see in this world, whether it is your gentle love or your tough love. Lord, if it's your gentle love, let us abound in thankfulness to you for what you give to us personally. If it's your tough love, Lord, we pray that we may learn the lessons that you have for us, training us to be your children. And Lord, we pray that we may love others in turn, that we may have that love of you, that love of your people, and that love of our neighbor that Jesus calls us to. And Lord, we pray that we may love with that kind of self-sacrificial, that kind of agape love that you have, that love for the undeserving and that love that desires to give. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.